You are listening to episode 2 of the Drunk Sex Podcast.
Welcome to Drunk Sex. Whatever you're into, we've got you covered. So crack open your favorite beverage and join your host, Jen Wadkey, for the Drunk Sex Podcast.
Hey everyone, thanks for joining me. So happy you are here with me today. What am I drinking today? Well, I came home a little glowy from a few glasses of house red at happy hour, and then I poured a cab sav from somewhere in Germany. So I want to give fair warning on today's episode in terms of it being probably TMI for a lot of you. I'm going to be talking about my hysterectomy, and some of what I'm going to be talking about might be a little too graphic for some of you, so tap out if you don't want to hear about my period. Okay, so I am going to tell the story as it happened, as I remember it happening, not through the vision of hindsight, because I kind of want you to understand the journey as I went through it. So I first got my period when I was 12, which, holy shit, there probably needs to be an episode in and of itself of all these crazy period stories that women have. Mine wasn't super horrific, other than the fact that I had gone on a road trip with my aunt, just my aunt, when I was 12. So my aunt's brother-in-law had a daughter who was about my age, who had met at kind of other random family functions and quite liked. So that was the reason that I was going to take this road trip with my aunt. So we got there and I was hanging out with this second cousin or distant relative or whatever it was. And we were talking randomly about periods. And I was telling her that I hadn't had it. And then I was kind of fucking ready for it to happen already because I'd been to all the health classes and was told all these crazy things were going to happen to my body. So I was just like, bring it on already. Let's get it over with. And Jesus Christ, sure enough, the next morning I woke up covered. Well, I guess it wasn't covered in blood, but there was blood in this guest bed I was staying in. And any woman listening to this, I know that you are feeling that embarrassment. Like it feels like you've done something personal, like you've decided to do something shitty in these people's beds where you don't have any control over it. So I told this girl, her name was Teresa, I told her, I was like, oh my god, do you remember that thing we were talking about last night? She's like, period? I'm like, yeah, it just happened. And she's like, oh my god. And so she's like, oh, I'll go get you some things. I'm like, okay, that'd be great. And so I just sat down there as she went upstairs because I was like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what's going to happen when I stand up. Is blood going to like gush out of my vagina? I don't really know how this is going to go. So obviously when she went upstairs, she was looking for pads. And as it turned out, humiliation on top of humiliation, they didn't have anything in the house. So they're like, oh my god, we need to run out and grab something. And of course I knew this was happening. She came down and told me before they went out, and so I was like, oh my god, like I can't leave this room. Like, it was so embarrassing. And then my aunt came down and she's like, you can come up, but you don't have to stay down here. And I remember going up, but I also remember thinking, like, what am I going to do? Like, I'm bleeding. And so I did as I'm sure many of you out there have done. I just wadded up some toilet paper in the meantime until they came back from the corner store or whatever it was they went to. And then I put a pad on. And I think my aunt, I think she called my mom and told her. Like, it's just, it's so bad. It's, oh god. But I think there's probably no good way to ever have your first period. But this seemed especially unnecessarily fucking embarrassing. So anyway, I was 12. And I can't remember how far after that first period, but I remember I was still 12 and really having pain, like cramping and stuff. And so I told my mom, and it seems that my mom had similar experiences with pain. So she was like, yeah, you know, that's kind of just how it goes. And she, I think, bought Midol was the over-the-counter drug at that time. I don't know if it still exists or not. So she bought me Midol, and I sort of maxed out on the dose, and I was like, this is still painful. Like, I fetal position in the bed for, you know, the first day. So she took me to the doctor, and, you know, he prescribed some prescription meds, which worked for a period of time. And then I was like, Mom, this, like, it still really hurts. Like, it's still really bad. And so began the cycle of every, I don't know, 6 months to year, going back to the doctor and being like, this isn't working, this isn't working, this isn't working. But this cycle went on until I was 18. And my doctor, you know, kind of looks at me and I was like, you know, I need something different again. Like, and he's like, well, we've put you through all of the available drugs. You've had all of them. It's time for you to go on the pill. And I was like, 18. I was like, I mean, I wasn't sexually active, but I was like, okay, like, it's going to take care of the pain. I should have lighter, easier periods. Okay. So I went on the pill when I was 18 and stayed on it for many, many years. But there were a few, you know, periods throughout my life where I, you know, had either run out of the pill or had to switch pill or whatever. And I remember the first time that I kind of had a twig of like, maybe I'm not normal, because that was always the thing that I got. My mom had experienced difficult periods herself, so she didn't think that anything was, you know, abnormally wrong with my pain, and the doctor didn't think so either. It was kind of like, you know, you're female, you have this every month, like, it's painful, you know, that's how it is. So that's how it was. I was a university student when I had the first inkling that, you know, maybe I was a little bit abnormal. And I remember I had just finished writing a final exam, and I met up with a friend afterward, and we were taking the bus home, and we were sitting in the back of the bus, and it must have been the first day of my period. And I don't know if I was I on the pill. I must have been on the pill then. Yeah. So I don't know what it was that the pain was so bad, or the pill wasn't working, or whatever it was, but I was like crouched over in the fetal position in the back of the bus, almost vomiting from the pain. And my friend was like, holy fuck. Like, are you kidding? Like, that's crazy. That's crazy. And I was like, oh, you know, it'll pass. It's just my period. Like, they're painful. I had bought into this, right? Like, oh, you know, it'll be fine. And it did eventually pass, as it does. That basically was my life. I stayed on the pill, so those painful moments were definitely reduced. They weren't all the time. They were a bit of an anomaly. And, you know, continued on that way until I got to be 33 or 34. And I kind of went, you know what? I'm done. I'm over this. I'm not going to take hormones every day anymore for this. I'm done. It doesn't feel right. I don't want to do this. Nope. And what was really interesting was that I had a long-term boyfriend at that time. You know, he did not fight me going off the pill or anything. He was very supportive, but he did say after I had been off the pill, he was like, what the fuck? He's like, you're all different. Your body is entirely different. He's like, I have to relearn you. And of course, he meant that he had to relearn my sexual responses, which he was very right in that, like, everything felt different. The things and the sensations that I liked before, generally rougher, more pounding, basically, of the cervix, I could handle and I liked when I was on the pill, were off the table. So part of me says, did that pill have a numbing effect on my reproductive organs that I wasn't aware of at the time? Don't know. I think so. It seems so. And just the fact that he really noticed it was very interesting to me. So that was all fine. And so, you know, continued on. I managed the pain for a few years. There were some days where it was really fucking bad, but, you know, I took the drugs that were available to me. And again, Women all over the world deal with this all the time. What are you going to do? Why are you different? Of course, I can't take 2 days off of work every month. That's ridiculous. So I sucked it up and I continued until about 2014. A little bit before that, I had started to notice like I was having really bad clotting to the point where, and this is a TMI warning if you're squeamish, there were a few times where I was like, my periods were such that I was like, holy shit, did I just spontaneously abort a baby? Like the clotting was that bad and got worse. It was awful. Then after that, in about 2014, I started to have a fairly consistent but intermittent abdominal pain that actually interfered with my life in that, you know, I would break plans. I would not leave the apartment because I just wasn't sure how I was going to be feeling in a few hours. If I was feeling awful when it was time to go out, I didn't want to be caught, you know, out and about with friends and find myself sitting, you know, at a restaurant or pub or watching movies and just clutching my stomach because I was in pain. So I went to the doctor, to a walk-in clinic, and explained the situation. And he didn't even examine me. He just said, oh, you're probably backed up. You need to eat more fruit. Like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, that's not what this is. Like, and I instinctively knew. I was like, this is not my diet. This is not, I'm not getting enough fiber and I'm bunged up. Like, this is something different. So I had a regular massage therapist that actually knew my body quite well. So I went into her and said, you know, this is what's bothering me. So she did some like exploratory massage on my belly and the things that she had been taught in school that might be medical issues. None of that triggered pain-wise when she was massaging me. So she was kind of like, you know, I don't have anything to give you. Like, I can't really pinpoint or suggest anything that sticks out to me as causing this pain for you. And so, you know, I continued to suck it up as you do and keep going. And then I got angry. I had a really great boss at the time. So I was working on a TV show. Really great boss. We were good friends. She knew that this had been happening and she knew it had been happening for a while. And I remember we were camera wrapped, so it wasn't super busy. And I was sitting at my desk and I had this pain. And I remember slamming my hands down on my desk and I said, fuck this. I'm going to the fucking hospital. And she's like, oh, okay, bye. So drove myself to the hospital. Went into emergency and explained the situation, and they were really great. I went to, I think it was Burnaby General Hospital, which was normally never anywhere I would go because it's not close to where I was living at the time, but it was close to the office I was working at the time. And I really lucked out. I got a great emergency doctor who did ultrasounds and really listened to my symptoms, and he got the results back, and he said, I think you need to talk to our gynecological surgeon. He's not available at the moment, but he did say he would see you if you can come back in like a couple hours and he'll talk to you. I was like, absolutely. So the emergency doctor, having looked at my ultrasound, prescribed me narcotics. And I was like, oh, are these? Like, what are these? Are they? Oh, and they only gave me 10, no refills. Had to filled the prescription literally within 3 days or the prescription was void. And I was like, oh, are these strong? He's like, yeah. And I'm like, oh, are these habit forming? He's like, it's a narcotic. And I'm like, oh, okay. So I went and got the prescription filled. And then I came back to see the gynecological surgeon who listened again to my story and my symptoms and looked at my ultrasound. And it turned out I had a baseball-sized cyst on my left ovary, and I had about 3 large fibroids in my uterine lining. And those fibroids is what was causing those clots that I described earlier. And the cyst was what was causing a lot of pain. So the diagnosis from that, taking into account what they saw in the ultrasound and my history with pain and that I got worse after I went off the pill. They diagnosed me with endometriosis. So I saw that gynecological surgeon outside of the hospital, and his suggested treatment was for me to go on hormones, which actually, no, that's a lie. The first suggestion was that sometimes cysts can often just dissipate. And so he suggested that I just sit on it for 3 months and see what happens. And a couple of my friends were like, that's crazy. What are you talking about? But I was like, no, I've been sucking it up. I'm going to suck it up for another 3 months and see if that remotely helps, which it didn't. And then at that point, he wanted me to take hormones to treat the symptoms. And I was like, I'm not doing that. I've been on hormones my whole life. This is a treatment, not finding what's actually causing the problem. And I don't want to be on these for the rest of my life. And I was done with hormones. I wasn't taking them anymore. I flat out refused to take them. So he said, well, okay, so the cyst wasn't getting smaller. I wasn't going to take the hormones. So then we had to discuss real treatment options. So what he suggested was that they could go in and they could surgically remove the cyst. And I was all like, well, are you going to remove the fibroids while you're in there? He's like, yeah, we can do it all at once. We can take everything out. Yes. And so I sat there and I went, okay. And then what? And he said, well, you have endometriosis, so you're going to have this problem until you go through menopause. So, and I said, okay, so taking out the cyst and the fibroids is not going to deal with my pain. Nope. And they can likely grow back. Because if you don't know what endometriosis is, and I'm sorry, I should have said this earlier. I made an assumption that the audience might know, but you might not know. So endometriosis is when the uterine tissue is growing sort of out of control. And it can be really, really serious. And it can be really super painful depending on the woman. I mean, it's possible to have it and never have pain and symptoms. And it's possible to have what they might call a mild case and to have excruciating pain. So it really just depends on the individual. But fundamentally, endometriosis is uterine tissue growing in a way that it shouldn't. So to be told that they could do the surgery that would it wouldn't even really relieve my symptoms of pain. It would kind of just be a really short-term stopgap. And I kind of went, I'm not down with that. That doesn't seem an acceptable solution. And then again, he was like, well, or you could go on these hormones. And I'm like, I am not doing that. So I went home and I did a little research and I thought about it. And then I went back and saw him again. And I said, you know, can we just take everything out? Like, if we're going to go in there and cut out fibroids and this huge cyst, like, I'm not going to have children. Can we do it all in one go? And I meant remove everything in one go. I wanted a hysterectomy, which was what I asked him for. And to his credit, he didn't fight me. I was 38. Didn't fight me at all. He just looked at me and said, yep, that's a reasonable treatment option. But what I find really interesting is that he told me it was a reasonable treatment option, but it wasn't offered to me. I asked for it. And then further validation, he, you know, logged into his computer while I was sitting there and, you know, looked at my symptoms again and all of my details. And he went, yep, actually, you fall into the category of semi-urgent based on your symptoms. Semi-urgent, wherein all my life I had been told that this is normal. You're a woman. This happens. Suck it up. Women have this pain. This is normal. And when I pushed to have this hysterectomy, I was actually semi-urgent and I didn't know it. So I took another day to think about it. And then I came back and I said, book me for the surgery, which he did. Before I booked the surgery, I thought long and hard about what this would mean for my health, for long term. I was concerned that it could affect my sexual functioning. And I went onto a Facebook group that I was in that wasn't health related, but it had a lot of women. So I posted a question, sort of generically said, hey, this is my medical situation. I'm considering having a hysterectomy. I'm curious to hear stories from other women who have gone through the same thing. And what were your after effects? Was your sexual function negatively affected? Did you have any surgical complications? Do you regret the surgery? You know, anything you're willing to share about your experience would be greatly, greatly appreciated. I was shocked at some of the things that were posted in response to my, you know, simply asking for compassion and sympathy and understanding for my medical situation. I was told that cutting out my womb was cutting out my female power, and why would anyone want to do that? And, you know, I should just change my diet, that this was something that I could just heal myself if I put my mind to it. And I just fucking lost my shit on that post. It was so condescending and so belittling. And this is one of my really big gripes about some of the sex coaches I see out there that talk about things about, you know, that your womb is female power. And I hadn't at that point decided if I was going to keep my cervix or not, but there was all this talk about cervical orgasms and how the cervix is where the female heart lives, and, you know, it's barbaric to cut this out, and, you know, there are so many things that you could do to, like, heal and remove these growths and all this shit. And I don't mean that there is an element of truth to those philosophies. I think there are. But nobody understands my personal journey, and to the women out there listening, nobody out there can fully understand your journey. And if you are making a decision that is right for you, to have people tell you that you're cutting out your power, that you're not going to be a real woman anymore, is really fucking anti-feminist, condescending bullshit. And it makes me fucking angry that we tell women this. Anyway, I lost my shit at some of those people on those threads. And this is a topic that's really important and I'm really passionate about, because I think we always need to respect the decisions that women make about their bodies, regardless of if it's one that we don't agree with, if it's abortion or, you know, a hysterectomy or vulvoplasty or breast enhancement. If a woman has made a decision about any of those things, shut the fuck up unless she asks for your opinion. And I wasn't asking for an opinion. I was asking for stories about experiences from people who had gone through what I was contemplating going through. So I went through with a hysterectomy. And another really good friend of mine, I tell her that, well, I don't tell her. We agree that she's quite woo. And I talk about not being woo, and she's like, you're more woo than you know. She's like, the fact that you went through the surgery, given my outcome, which I'm going to get to in a second, she really validated that. She's like, you know, people, she knew that people had shit on me for this decision. But she said something really amazing, and she was like, you know, your woo, your female power, your autonomy was actually you listening to your body and the little voice inside me that said that I had to have this surgery, because this surgery really, in a lot of ways, I really believed it saved my life in a way that nobody saw coming. Nobody knew the extent of how bad things were inside. So what had happened was I woke up from the surgery and my high resistance to drugs. The doctor's standing there and he's like, don't know if you're going to remember this conversation, but I'm going to have it with you anyway. I'll repeat what needs to be repeated if you don't remember. Your surgery took longer than expected. And I'm like, blah, blah. He's like, yes, it took longer than expected because we had to call in a bowel specialist. I'm like, blah, blah. He's like, yes, your uterus was fused to your bowel. So my endometrial tissue, my uterine tissue, had grown actually outside of my uterus, and was taking over my bowel, had begun the process of taking over my bowel to the point of when my gynecological surgeon was looking at this, he went, oh, fuck, I need to call in a specialist to remove this from the bowel so that I don't perforate her bowel. So that is where I really go, holy fuck, like, I didn't cut out my female power. I listened to what I intuitively knew was right for me and what I needed to have happen to me. And thank fuck, like, can you, like, how long could this have gone for with all these doctors telling me to just suck it up and this was normal and females have pain? This was taking over all of my insides and nobody fucking knew. Even when I lost my shit and went into the hospital and got an ultrasound, they couldn't see that. They didn't know. They didn't know until they were inside performing a surgery that I told them I wanted, that they had never offered me. And, you know, I got out of the surgery and I recovered. I had a fairly decent recovery. My scars are invisible. I had like three basically pinprick incisions, and then they, you know, blow gas into your belly and then they do the surgery that way. So like, if you didn't know I had the surgery, actually, even if you knew I had the surgery, you would never know if you looked at my naked belly. One of the things I really remember after the surgery, I was recovering at a friend's house in her basement, and I remember sitting there and just stewing in this rage. And it wasn't rage about not being able to have children, like that wasn't a thing for me at all. It was rage that nobody took me seriously. And it was only when I went into the hospital in pain and angry and insisting that something was wrong, did they do the search that should have been done really years and years ago and come up with, granted, limited options. And it was only because I pushed for an extreme surgery, which I know is not for everybody, and I'm not attempting to, you know, suggest that anybody take my path. It was my path. It was what was right for me. But had I not done that, had I not said, no, take it all out, I can't live like this anymore, I don't want this pain, I don't want these periods, I'm not going to have kids, like, I'm done, I need it dealt with. You know, that was me being my advocate, because nobody else had advocated for me in this medical situation for 30 fucking years, which is appalling and atrocious and a stain on our medical system. So what's my outcome? A couple other interesting little points. There was a debate about whether or not I would keep my cervix. And for a while, I had thought, no, I think that's important for sexual functioning. And so I wanted to keep it. But that would have involved another incision. And I had had pre-cervical cancer. So the more I thought about it, the more it seemed that actually the better decision was to remove the cervix. So that's gone. And according to some, you know, sex coaches and health gurus, I no longer have, you know, I can no longer access my sexual heart, which is fucking bullshit. My sexual functioning is not remotely compromised. It's everything feels the same. My quality of life is significantly better. I have a little bit of residual PMS, or had maybe a little bit of residual PMS. It's really, really, really dissipated. Like, for the first probably year or two after the surgery, I could tell when I would be, because I do still have my ovaries, I could tell when I was releasing an egg. I used to still be able to feel that, and I had, you know, those hormones. But now I'm, what am I, what is it, 2018? I'm now 3 years after the surgery, and I have no residual pain. I have no PMS twinges. It's honestly been one of the best decisions I have made in my life. I don't regret it one iota. So if this is something that interests you or you're considering, one great resource that I came across when I was doing my research was Hister Sisters. I will put a link in the show notes. They were a fantastic support. I talked to some women who had surgery around the same date and had same surgery, because there are different variations of hysterectomies that you can have depending on your personal medical circumstances and wants and what's best for you. So that site was really a great support. And if you're considering a hysterectomy or you're having one, I highly recommend that you go check that out. It's histersisters.com. As always, I love hearing your stories. So email me, post in my Facebook group at Jen Wadke, or you can email me at jen@jenwadke.com. You can also hit up my site, jenwadke.com. And for further episodes, make sure you go to drunksexpodcast.com. Thank you so much for listening, and I will catch you next time. Cheers.
This has been the Drunk Sex Podcast with Jen Wadke. For more sex talk, head over to the Jen Wadke Facebook group or check out jenwadke.com. Till next time, happy boozing and sexing.